Well, I have to tell you a bit of a funny story. I didn't know that I had this funny story to tell until my mother got up this morning and said that she wasn't going to do the children's activity that she had planned to do during church because she wanted to stay and listen to me, her daughter, speak this morning, which was very, very nice of her to do that. But she had told me in this last week or so that she was going to be doing this children's time, and so she was really disappointed that she wasn't going to hear me speak. Well, normally when I do speak, I don't usually use a printed script or I don't have my words written down. I usually tend to talk off the cuff, and I've worked on my sermon or whatever long enough that I know what it is that I'm going to say. But because she said she wanted to be able to read it after I was done, I had to take the time and actually write it down. And then to make the story even a little bit more funny is that because I spend all my time at work on a computer, I don't come home and I'm hardly ever on my computer at home. And so as a result, my printer, I don't use at home at all. And so yesterday morning I got up and I thought, well, because I've got to have this printed script so my mother can read the script and that, I've got to run off to Staples and I've got to buy new ink cartridges for my printer. Well, so I went to Staples to get the ink cartridges, and I have this really nice printer, but I realized after I got thinking about it, I've had this printer for a long, long time. And when I told the man at Staples what kind of ink cartridges I needed, he scratched his head and he said, "Wow, I don't think we make those kind or have them in the store anymore." He said, "I can special order them for you." And I said, "Well, that's not going to work today." And so I left the store, and not only was I thinking, I'm probably going to have to buy a new printer one of these days, I also thought, "Wow, how am I going to do this sermon now that I've got to print it so my mom can read it and all?" And so, as a labor of love, I just decided, to heck with it. The old way was the best way. I would just hand write it. So I hand wrote my sermon last night. I don't think there are very many pastors today who are hand writing their sermons. Maybe a few, but anyway, so I'm actually reading from a handwritten script, which wouldn't have happened if my mother had just told me she was going to be here in church today. Anyway, I'm delighted to have my mother in church today, and it isn't any more of a compliment than that to have your mother say that she wants to be in church to hear her oldest daughter. So good morning to you, and for any of you who don't know me, my name is Susan Butts, and I'm filling in for Pastor Cody, who is at annual conference this morning, I believe just finishing up and probably not too far from hitting the road to come home after a long day of a long week of meetings and worship services and things like that. Annual conference is a great experience, but it can be a tiring experience, and you're sort of glad when you're back home after that. While many of you may know me, and some of you may not know, that I happened to be the church secretary here over 30 years ago. I can't believe that it's been that long ago that I was here. And I was the church secretary back in the days when Dale Kurahara was the pastor here. And a lot of you are probably going to say, "I don't even know who Dale Kurahara was." But it's been a long time since I was the church secretary here. I also served for 7 years as the lay pastor of Kendrick United Methodist Church back in the 90s. But for the last 17 years, I've worked at Washington State University. I am currently the finance budget manager for student involvement, which includes leadership, student government, student entertainment board, the campus newspaper, and Greek life. I live in Clarkston, and I drive back and forth every day. I also happen to be a dialysis patient, and 3 nights a week, I spend 4 hours doing treatment at a center in Lewiston. And I'm a single parent of an 18-year-old. All of this is to say I don't have a lot of free time, so I have to let you in. I have a secret little vice. And no, it's not smoking or drinking or even eating too much chocolate. No, my vice is People Magazine. It's my happy little indulgence that comes in the mailbox on Saturdays. Each week, I get caught up on the Hollywood entertainment news. Who's marrying who? Who's dating who? What celebrities wore to big Hollywood parties? You get the idea. But I've noticed recently that the magazine has a new feature called Heroes Among Us. These are stories of everyday people who are making a difference. They had an idea of how they wanted to help someone out, and their idea spread into something bigger. Take the story of hockey great Wayne Gretzky, who helped a young man 30 years ago who had Down syndrome find a job in the locker room of the Edmonton Oilers. Through that one act of love, it spread today to 6 homes that have 25 developmentally disabled adults that live in them. That's spreading the love 150 times. Vicki Andrus, who oversees the Winifred Stewart Association's facilities, says the hockey superstar's support has transformed countless lives. And then there's the story of fashion designer Mindy Shire, who discovered that her son, who has a rigid spine disease, needed clothing that was easy to get on and off. But at the same time, he wanted to fit in with his friends. Today, Mindy has found that a whole lot of people need adaptive clothing. Fashion designer Tommy Hilfiger has added the clothing designs to his 2016 Spring Kids collection. Shire says, for that mom who has to get up 3 hours before she goes to work because it takes her that long to dress her child, if I can give her 5, 10, 30 minutes back in her day because it was that much easier to dress them, that's a gift of a lifetime. Coach Manny Castellanos grew up in a gang-ridden area of the San Fernando Valley in California and found that running took a lot of stress away and provided the much-needed therapy and incentive that he needed. Now a first-generation college graduate with a master's degree, he's come back to the same neighborhood to teach other young boys just like himself. I see so much of myself in them, he says, of his students. My goal is to help them realize they're capable of so much more than they think they are. The past several weeks, Cody has been preaching from the book of Galatians. Paul really laid out some very simple messages in this book. They seem so easy when presented to us, but we seem to overcomplicate the matter. When men and women get their hands on religion, one of the first things they often do is turn it into an instrument for controlling others, either putting or keeping them in their place. The history of such religious manipulation and coercion is long and tedious. It is little wonder that people who have only known religion on such terms experience release or escape from it as freedom. The problem is that freedom turns out to be short-lived. Paul was doing his diligent best to add yet another chapter to this dreary history when he was converted by Jesus to something radically and entirely different, a free life in God. Through Jesus, Paul learned that God was not an impersonal force to be used to make people behave in certain prescribed ways, but a personal Savior who sets us free to live a free life. God did not coerce us from without, but set us free from within. It was a glorious experience, and Paul set off telling others, introducing and inviting everyone he met into this free life. In his early years, he founded a series of churches in Galatia. A few years later, he learned that religious leaders of the old school had come into those churches, called his views and authority into question, and were reintroducing the old ways, herding all of those freedom-loving Christians back into a trap of religious rules and regulations. Paul, of course, was furious. He was furious with the old guard for coming in with strong-arm religious tactics and intimidating the Christians into giving up the free life in Jesus. But he was also furious with the Christians for caving in to the intimidation. His letter to the Galatian churches helps them and us recover the original freedom. It also gives direction in the nature of God's gift of freedom. Most necessary guidance, for freedom is a delicate and subtle gift, easily abused, misused, and often squandered. Every day is a chance for us to use this freedom given as a gift to us. The funny part is that it doesn't matter how you use this freedom, just as long as you use it for good. You don't have to do something as big as Wayne Gretzky or Mindy Shire. The love you show to others is just as significant. Whether you bring food for the food bank, help with vacation church school, deliver meals on wheels, bake cookies for your neighbor, or a million other ways that you love others as yourself. In the Bible, the Message, Paul says, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's freedom is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. Let us pray. Gracious and everlasting God, we thank you for the messages that you teach us as we read the scriptures and as we learn. The messages sometimes are so clear in front of us, and yet we work so hard to dodge and avoid those messages. The message this morning, God, is easy. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, you experience the true freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen.